Part 1. Therapy. Chapter 1. David. We open on a man 48 years old, stretched out on a king-size bed in a room in Washington, D.C. The room is large, the man quite handsome, but he is alone. Except for an orange cat, no one else shares his big house. He sleeps restlessly, occasionally pounds his pillow in frustration, and then drifts back into fitful dreams. For more than 2 years, at work and at the gym, he has been reasonably successful at exhausting himself so he can get through the night. Something has changed, though, and work and hard exercise are no longer enough. If confronted, he might admit that he has been burying himself prematurely. Perhaps all he was really doing was allowing himself time to grieve, to heal. Now he feels a tug back toward the surface. He's starting to think that it's time, at last. Time to see what the next phase of his life can hold for him. Time to discover if he can still feel the passion that has been missing for so long. Maybe time to let someone in, past the walls he has erected. David dreamt that he and Kyle were diving somewhere. Jewel-colored fish caught shafts of sunlight from the surface and glittered in the cool water. Kyle swam ahead as the beauty surrounding them distracted David. When David looked up, he could find no trace of his lover. He began to panic and frantically pulled himself through the water as he tried to catch up. He knew, in dream logic, that his air was running out. He could see daylight above, could save himself, but he couldn't abandon Kyle. He had to reach him. The alarm went off, and David jerked up in bed, gasping. As reality set in, he looked at the clock. It read 6:15. "Fuck," he muttered, as he slammed the edge of his fist on the snooze button. He lay back down, wide-eyed, but the dream was already fading. Despite having the rest of the king-size bed to claim, his cat, Eartha, was curled in a ball by his thigh. She didn't move when he stirred. She was too used to his restlessness. David stared at the ceiling as his heart rate returned to normal. When the alarm buzzed again, he got to his feet and switched it off. Already, he'd forgotten most of the dream, and knew only that it had been about Kyle, again. The oak treads creaked under his feet as he went downstairs, and Eartha padded after him. David took his first cup of coffee of the day into the living room. He liked to stretch there and get himself ready for CrossFit. Laying on his side on a foam roller, he worked his right leg up and down slowly, easing tension and a few knots. Eartha pushed her cold nose against his cheek as he worked, but scampered away as he rolled over to repeat the stretches on the left. Next, his calves, and then his ankles. He could remember being 30 and running to the gym with no preparation at all. No one had warned him what it was like to reach 48 and to need to get the muscles moving each day. Kyle, a natural athlete, used to laugh at David's preparations. Kyle was always limber, flexible, and ready to go when he jumped out of bed. David's chest tightened. Had been ready to go. 20 minutes later, he left the house on a chilly March morning, and his breath puffed in the air. That early, only a few cars passed as he walked up 15th Street, turned right onto Church Street, and entered the CrossFit gym. He shook off the last of the dream as he hung his hooded jacket and his keys on a small pegboard near the door. The usual morning crew was already there, warming up. One of his workout buddies lay on his side, stretching his shoulder with a hard rubber ball. "Hey, Terry," David called. Terry grunted, obviously having found a tight spot.
"Morning, Davy. Did you see the wad today? Gonna be a bitch."
David glanced at the dry erase board, where the coach wrote out the workout of the day, or WOD.
"Not too terrible," he thought.
3 rounds of exercise, measured for time. 15 burpees, followed by 20 pull-ups and 25 sit-ups in each round. He was slower than many of the men and women in his group, but he could get through that workout. Following a warm-up, the coach, Rebecca, started the digital clock and called out,
"Go!"
Most of the athletes were a lot younger than both Terry and David and flew through the early stage of the routine. One guy, Jack, was a show-off, but had the body for it. After he finished his first round, he ostentatiously pulled off his shirt and threw it to the ground. The move exposed his wide shoulders, well-developed arms and pecs, and a light spray of hair across his chest. Torso glistening with sweat, hips hugged by his workout shorts, he was damned sexy, and he knew it. Just recently, David had become aware of trying not to look. Geez, he could have a son that age. David felt a little competitive fire and slammed through the next set of pull-ups as fast as he could. Squeezing his shoulders together, he pulled his chin above the bar, then dropped to full extension. He kipped to build rhythm for the next pull-up. Shoulders and biceps burning, he gritted his teeth and kept going. He quietly chanted, 18, 19, 20. He dropped from the bar, shook out his arms, and then flopped to the ground on his back to begin the sit-ups. His gut burned with the exertion, so after 25, he gave himself a short breather and rested on his back. Two of the men and one of the women were already done. Steeling himself mentally, he stood to begin the third set of burpees. God, he hated these. Down to his hands, kick out with both feet, execute a tight push-up, spring back to a squat, jump up into the air, and clap his hands. Then another, and another. Sweat poured down his face. He called up a mental image of Kyle for strength. He saw Kyle in shorts and a tank as he finished a marathon, exhilaration on his handsome face as he crossed the line after 4 hours of running. The wad was nothing compared to that. David moved on to the pull-ups. As he neared the 15th, he felt a strange pain in his right shoulder, but he kept working, kipping his body hard to get through. Then the last set of sit-ups. He panted, abs on fire, almost done. Finally, he finished the last sit-up and gasped out, "Time." He lay on his back, sweat-drenched against the gym floor as he gathered his breath and his strength. When everyone was through, Rebecca said, "Nice work, everybody. Good intensity." She gave them some instructions for mobilizing their bodies to get ready for the next day's WOD, and they were done. The following class was ready to take the gym floor. David moved off to the side of the room and grabbed his keys and hoodie. Jack wiped sweat off with his discarded shirt. Terry murmured next to David, "Maybe we can get him to work out completely naked next time." David laughed. "Perv. He's straight." Terry said, "Doesn't mean we can't fantasize. Besides, I think he likes to show off a little too much, considering how many of us queers are in the class. And I saw him watching you finish your wad." David grimaced ruefully. "He probably just wants to see if I'll have a heart attack so he can use his EMT training." Terry said, "Always with the age shit. You do great here, but you like to talk like you're 100. I feel like it sometimes. Those burpees kill me. You got time for breakfast?" David nodded. "Sure, that sounds nice." They slid into a booth in a diner around the corner from the gym. David ordered coffee and an omelet with egg whites, chicken, and spinach as Terry rolled his eyes. "I want chocolate chip pancakes with extra syrup, please," he said to the waiter. Then he looked back at David with one brow quirked. "How you can eat so healthy after a wad like that is sickening. What's the point of working hard if you can't indulge later?" "What's the point of working hard if you just eat back all the calories?" "You'll see. At some point, the metabolism just slows down, and you can't eat everything in sight."
"Okay, I'll eat like a pig until I'm 50, and then I'll start starving myself like you."
"What have you been up to?" David asked.
"I had a fun hookup over the weekend, but it was one of those no strings attached, on the down low, what the fuck things. I doubt he even gave his real name."
"And Joe really doesn't mind when you play around with someone else?"
"Fuck no. Joe gets off on my stories. We have sex together too sometimes, but with Joe it's more cerebral. He likes hearing about my adventures. Like last night, this guy had this great cock that curved to the left."
Terry paused as the waiter returned with their food. David chuckled. "Stop with your stories. I'm not Joe, and I don't want to hear the sordid details. Besides, I don't have enough time to jerk off before I go to work." Terry shoved a forkful of pancakes into his mouth and chewed, looking directly at David with his eyes narrowed.
"When was the last time you got laid?"
"Oh, God, I haven't had sex in,
Well, I don't even remember.
David lied. He did remember. It was the morning of the day that Kyle started chemo. They had both been scared, and it wasn't particularly good, but they needed some way to connect. After that, Kyle was always weak and ill from the treatment, and the cancer was aggressive. They touched a lot and held each other in Kyle's hospital bed, but no sex, and nothing since Kyle died. Terry seemed oblivious to David's train of thought. Although he knew David had lost his lover to cancer, he was aware of few of the details.
Well, that's why you act so fucking old. Get a piece of twink, and you'll remember that age ain't nothing but a number.
A big number. A scary number, David said, frowning. Terry scoffed.
Davy, you know I'm not coming on to you, but you're hot. Look at yourself, man. You're sexy, strong, and agile, and you are hung.
Now, how do you know that?
I've got eyes, right? Those shorts you wear to the gym don't exactly hide what you're packing. I saw you doing pull-ups, and that thing was swinging forward every time you hit the bar.
Embarrassed, David focused his attention on his food. Point taken. I'll start wearing a jock.
No, that isn't the point. You have a lot of life in you, and a lot to give. And I don't mean below the waist.
Terry grinned. Or at least, not just below the waist.
Shit, I only know you from the gym, really, but I can tell what a great guy you are. I'd better shut up now.
David smiled at him gratefully. Thanks. I don't always realize when I'm throwing a pity party. I'll work on it. Terry forked up the last bite of pancake and chewed thoughtfully.
Good.
As he got ready for work, David thought about Terry's blunt comments. He stepped out of the glass block shower enclosure and caught sight of himself in the full-length mirror across the bathroom. Dropping his towel, he tried to look objectively. Good hair, though it always seemed to lie a little flat, a little bit of gray, maybe. He liked his face. He was often called handsome, though he had difficulty accepting that. Maybe distinguished was a better word, with the wrinkles around his eyes and the glint of silver in his brows. His shoulders were broad and well-defined, and he was proud of all the work he put into them. His chest was nice, not huge and barrel-shaped, but smoothly muscled. He didn't have a six-pack, but his belly was firm and tight. Healthy-sized cock, for which he was grateful. Guys and even a few women had seemed appreciative in his single days, and Kyle had loved it in his mouth. He turned a bit and tried to see his backside. His ass still looked pretty good, probably from all the squats at the gym. He turned back to look at himself face on and thought about what Terry said.
Hot?
Eh. Well, it isn't like anybody is looking anyway. Suddenly, the self-examination struck David as slightly ridiculous. He said out loud,
"You were the vain one, but look at me now, ogling myself in the mirror."
The house answered him with silence.